Welcome Zimbabweans in the nation and around the world today. Once again, we have in the studio Dr. Rutenda Otaonashe, a medical doctor and a preacher, a mother of six children, widely respected around the world in churches and in business. As we began this series of programs last month, newsreaders asked Ms. Otaonashe to briefly explain her marriage matter, which has been a cause for controversy worldwide. She gave a factual overview of what her estranged straying husband Andrew had earlier on splashed to the world after being caught in a secret affair with a young Tswana woman. Mrs. Otaonashe has been cheated on by this man, but has stood strong, setting an example to women world over on what a wife, but most importantly, a mother figure should be, as many people now hail her for her noble sobriety and Christian values. She is also a former anti-corruption commission head in government, and so her experience in so many things is vast and expansive. Dr. Otaonashe, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Linda.
Last week we started on this subject, on women becoming victims to cultic deception and how this has become rampant. And we have seen several examples, not only in Zimbabwe, but even in other parts of the world, America, the United Kingdom, Ukraine, which have been in the news lately. Today, we'd like to go into how governments could relate to churches. And I just want to ask you, ma'am, from your wealth of experience, would you advocate or support legislation that seeks to regulate the behavior of churches as a way of protecting congregants from abuse?
Oh, thank you, Simba. I would say congregants are citizens, and every congregant must be protected by the state like any other citizen. Because you find when you read the Bible, God ordains rulers and gives power and authority to the state to protect its citizens from evil. Let me quote from Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 13 and verse 1. Let everyone be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Then verses 3 and 4 say, for rulers are not a terror of the good works, but the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do what that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he peareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute upon him that doeth evil. So you find that this comes from God, and the state protects its citizens by constitutions, legislations, laws, and regulations. But the mere existence of a good constitution, law, or legislation does not guarantee the protection of the citizens. The law must be enforced. For this to happen, number one, the citizens must know the provisions of the constitutional legislation, and also number two, the channels to follow to seek compensation where injury or abuse is taken place. So education of the public on existing legislation is more important than formulating more and more laws which people don't know and can't use. When good laws are there but not used, they get abolished. For example, to God here in Zimbabwe, is the legislation providing for the suit of a third party or intruder into a marriage for adultery damages. This is there in Zimbabwe. But the Supreme Court of Zimbabwe had called for abolition of the law for civil litigation for damages for adultery end of last year, because there were no claims in spite of hundreds of thousands of victims of adultery. But on the 22nd of December in 2015, there was a landmark ruling on adultery damages by Judge Mayera in a case where a victim of adultery sued the woman who had intruded into a marriage resulting in its breakdown. She claimed $25,000 and it was granted. The judge said adultery damages are a legal claim meant to protect the sanctity of marriage and they remain part of our laws. In terms of Zimbabwean policy and values, adultery remains wrongful and the claim for damages is justified as it serves to compensate the injured party. In the churches, there are many people, particularly women, who are ignorant of the constitution and the provisions of the law that protect them, and more laws would not make any difference to them. For women and girls in particular, they become victims of abuse because society treats them into graciously receiving abuse and keep quiet. There are common sayings like Mukadzia Asimujabwa, Chakafugiza Zimbamatinga. All these are aimed at making sure women keep their mouth shut about violence in their marriages and homes. Some of these so-called wise sayings are in the form of songs at weddings, like this song, Maybe Let Me Sing to You. So all these things are tutoring women into keeping silent in cases of violence. One of the evil works of the devil that reduces the value and potential of the woman and girl is violence and abuse. And it thrives and devastates wherever it is received. So I say to women, any woman or girl who knows a God-given identity, rejects violence and abuse, first and foremost in your mind, because Jesus Christ was beaten, despised, spat on, and rejected to redeem the woman and the girl from violence and abuse, and to bring a peace and true beauty. Kurowa kwakatonzera rugare kwakange kuri pamusoro pati ishe Jesu Kristu. This is what I have to say, Simba.
And in regard to, for instance, financial abuse, and I refer to this specifically, Doc, because usually the men, so-called men of God, who have been prominent on issues of sexual abuse and other abuses of women, they have had an element of financial abuse behind them. And so I want to ask, would you support something like what has been called for in South Africa? And this has been put in place as a legal instrument that every church must, for instance, declare its assets. It must declare its books, make them publicly. And only to find one particular preacher, the likes of Chris Oyakhilom, I'm just quoting from newspaper articles, who is now fighting the government in courts and saying this is a violation. And you have others as well who are refusing to reveal their financial position. Do you agree to that relation between financial abuse and female or sexual abuse in this case?
A person who abuses in one way is bound to abuse in any other way. So what I would say or comment on that is to say it's up to the state, whatever state it is, to see what regulations are useful and can be implemented in their own instance or in their own context. Because, you know, sometimes legislations are just put there, but if they can't be implemented and there are no resources to implement, as I said before, it wouldn't be much use. But if it is left to the government to see, you know, if they are responsible for the citizens, to see what legislations can be there, And if the things go to court, let the court decide. So even if he finds, if the court decides otherwise, it is something that can then be used for everything else. But what I'm saying is that church people are also people who are citizens of any nation. So they should be able to comply. If something is to be complied with, church people should also be able to comply with whatever legislations are useful in protecting the citizens of any nation.
Mm.
So whether it be financial or moral or any other way, let it apply to everyone so that there is no special case about anything. And also just to know that even the churches themselves, they still have to deal with public, they still have to deal with people. You know, when you hear people like Apostle Paul seeking transparency, even in financial issues, when you go to the book of Corinthians, he says, you know, what we do, we want it to be transparent to the rest of the congregation and the people. So it's a good thing to be able to be clear, to be pure, to be clean. This is what I would say the church people should be seeking. Was that scripture I read for you, it actually says the law of God is above, because it is a law of love. When you love your neighbor, then you don't abuse. When you love your...
I don't know if you heard that. Heard me well there. I'm saying a pastor just doing anything willy-nilly. I mean, like in this case, there were some reports about 2 weeks ago that your husband was suing you, something like that. And then that same lawsuit, he just dips his hands into the money bag. I'm using that as an example. Into the church money bag to pay for private matters. Yeah. So when a person just does things anyhow, anyhow, then there seems to be people of that nature. There seems to be a connection with the financial element to all other forms of abuse. And if I may ask, I mean, I know you did address that, but if I may ask as well, you to help us to clarify, is there any lawsuit then against you? It seemed your husband, or it was reported that your husband was suing you 2 weeks ago for defamation.
Well, that ended up just as a claim or a rumor. I haven't seen anything to that effect yet.
Oh, okay, I see. There shouldn't be anything then, but it looked like there was that plot, or it was said that there's that plot, and the people that were reporting this were even saying that the summons have been sent in the mail, of which we would want to assume it's 2 weeks now later that the case...
No, I haven't received anything yet. So maybe it was just a rumor. But what I was going to say, Simba, is that, you know, pastors, men of God, are people like anyone else. So sometimes they come to the light because they are people who are there to preach good things. But, you know, just like headmasters, you hear stories about headmasters, you know, taking money, you know, and, you know, big people, when they are responsible for money, they dip their hands. So pastors are just like any other person. What should help them is because people, you know, just expect high morals of pastors. But the bottom line is that, like, they are like anyone else. They shouldn't be more corrupt than anyone else. But this is what headmaster is in charge of school fees and things. This is the ending to it. It's like anyone in a company who's in charge of funds and things. On that, all people do get tempted, but it's unfortunate that finally pastors, because sometimes they come into the limelight because they preach, and because people see them so much, This is why they end up maybe being portrayed as being more corrupt or more prone like anyone else. But to me, they look like any person, any man would be tempted.
So really, would you accept the proposition right now in the community that preachers should not be called men of God? They should maybe rather be called servants of God, or just preachers.
Well, it's because the servant of God, men of God.
Because men of God seems to imply that a person is now made of God. I mean, there was a video that came out recently of Chris Oyakhilome as he was divorcing his wife, as the divorce, I beg your pardon, was being processed, and he tells his church members that he is a man of God who, and that means that, and that means that anything that he does is impeccable. It is infallible.
No, there is no person who is infallible. God left room for that. What I advise people is to say, people should learn to separate issues. Men of God, servants of God are people. And people are prone to being tempted by the devil. They can fall. But God is God. So as a Christian, one should have a ethical relationship with God, brethren. And when a person does right, we cheer them, we clap hands. But when they go wrong, we can give them grace and say, okay, this happens to people of flesh, this thing happens to them. So please rise up.
I apologize, I lost you there.
Yes, okay, that's right.
Yes. Yeah, you were explaining, you were just concluding on the issue of people. And that people should not trust preachers to the extent of elevating them to deity.
When you talk about trust, actually, when you read from the Word of God, God says you should put your trust in God, but you should love your brethren. Maybe since you brought that up, let me just read the scripture for you from the book of Jeremiah, prophet Jeremiah chapter 17. It says very clearly, for you as a person, when you live your life, it says very clearly in verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in men, and naked flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord is. So God puts it clearly that trust in men is not something that he demands of us. He demands us to love our brethren, but to put our trust in God. So sometimes you find even these people, men of God, husbands, they clamor and demand trust. But God actually warns against trusting people. So this is sometimes we knowing the scriptures for yourself helps. So that you can use God as your terms of reference, the Word of God as your terms of reference. And then it means when someone goes wrong, you don't fall with them. But you can actually afford them an arm of grace to say, you are a human being, you can fall, but rise up and try again.
Dr. Otanashe, thank you very much. And very lastly, please tell us your next meetings.
My next meeting is in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Devon's Common Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Spring Hill Suites by Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
This is 31 Andrews Parkway.
Okay.
Devon's Massachusetts.
Okay. When is that?
So this is Friday the 22nd.
This Friday.
6 p.m. to 11.
6 p.m. to 11.
And Saturday, 23rd of April, from 8 o'clock right into the evening, 11 p.m. Then Sunday, 24 April, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. So this is where I am, and I'm ministering to women, interdenominational women of faith ministry.
In the United States.
And then on the following weekend, I'll be in Michigan. Then I'll make my way back home, because I'm also preparing for the International Precious Women and Girls Convention in the HICC, Harare. This will be from the 16th to the 18th of June. So basically that's what I have.
That's the, these are the main meetings. Yeah, okay. Well, you've heard it, Zimbabweans. Dr. Otanashe will be in the United States, in Massachusetts, on Friday throughout the weekend. And as soon as she has finished her series of meetings in the US, she's coming back to Zimbabwe, and she'll be in the HICC in June. And there'll be other meetings, I'm sure, in between here and there. And you can find out more from Dr. Otanashe. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Otanashe.
This is Zimbabwe Media, broadcasting all around the world, on the spot, on the dot.